Joining us right now is U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who is on the August recess and back in the state. You've been traveling around. We're catching you as you travel on your way to Rhinelander. You've already been to Wausau today. What are you hearing from the people you talk to as far as the big issues they would like addressed in Washington?
Well, I have to say there's two issues that have come up a lot today. I have taken an early morning visit to the Bridge Street Community Health Center, and that was a wonderful experience to get a chance to hear from leaders in our community who are trying to make sure that people don't fall through the cracks with our healthcare system. They're working desperately on trying to implement the Affordable Care Act. And another thing that they're really focusing on is making sure that folks in the Wausau region have access to affordable and high-quality dental care. And so we had a lot of good discussions about making the Affordable Care Act work. In my remaining travels of the day, it took me to Park Falls. So some distance north and west of Wausau, where I was having some meetings with the paper industry, and a lot of discussion was had there, both about the implications of healthcare reform on their business, but also about the paper industry and global competition, and what sort of future our paper industry has in Wisconsin. I'm a big fan and champion of the paper industry in our state.
There's been a lot of discussion about the paper industry and its changes. In fact, you look at one of the companies with Wausau Papers, they've actually divested of certain specialties and are just sticking to tissue. And are you finding that a lot of the paper manufacturers are going to specialize in one or two specific areas and try to make a go of it in those areas?
Yes. There's several issues facing the paper industry. And, of course, you know, Wisconsin is the number one paper manufacturing state in the country. But one of the issues I think all of us can figure out is that as we rely more and more on email and electronic communication, we don't need as much paper as a society as we used to, and as we store things electronically, the same is true. So those who are producing printing paper and stationery paper are finding a lower demand, and we do see more specialization in the type of paper we know will always need, tissue paper, paper towels, toilet paper, et cetera, because there's not a diminished demand for that, for sure. That's not the only challenge that's being faced by the paper industry. We have unfair competition globally. I sponsored a bill last year that focused in on China's practices. China is subsidizing its paper industry very unfairly, putting in billions of dollars, and it provides an uneven playing field, makes it tougher to compete. So that's another challenge that is, let's call it a man-made challenge, but one that we can, I think, rectify if we have the right countervailing duties to place on imports that were manufactured with an unlevel playing field.
Now, that particular issue with China and some of these practices, that's not just the paper industry. It's a lot of areas, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, little over a decade ago, we saw steel dumping occur. There was an all-out effort to eliminate the domestic steel industry in the U.S., and yet, of course, we rely on steel for so much of our, vital products. And, you know, ultimately it got bad enough that we had anti-dumping policies. Same is true with paper, and today I hear a lot about their unfair trade practices in the solar panel industry. And Wisconsin companies that are trying to compete in the solar panel market, which, you know, should be something that we see having ever increasing demand as we rely more on clean energy, Instead, they're having huge woes because China is subsidizing the industry. And I'm sure we'll see it in other industries also. So we have to be vigilant, and we have to fight for our domestic manufacturing and the workers who populate these industries, because these are family-supporting jobs, and we need to keep them here in the U.S.
In your opinion, would you say situations like China and its dumping unfairly upon the U.S. market, is that a sign of a failure of NAFTA and free trade, or is that a sign of failure to regulate properly?
You know, I think that it, you know, the particular instances that I talked about where a nation decides to unfairly subsidize certain industries to get the upper hand and to squeeze their competitors out of business, I think that is a failure of our trade regime, that are bilateral or multilateral proposals. And if you do it right, you should have protections against those practices in the deals. But I think there's other things to be concerned about when we look broadly at the health of our economy and the health of our manufacturing sector. And you know, we have to be working on all fronts.
Another issue that seems to come up most every day, just a matter of where it comes from, is the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. We know it's coming, but we're unsure as to exactly when it's coming or what it's going to do and what we have to do to get ready for it. Are you getting a lot of people asking you about that program and concern about what to do and what to do now?
Yes, I am getting a lot of questions. And the discussions are really interesting because, you know, I think people understand the bill a lot more than sometimes they let on, in that many people are benefiting from its provisions already. You know, children can't be discriminated against anymore because of pre-existing medical conditions, and young people can stay on their parents' health insurance until they're 26 years old, and seniors now have free preventative care and lower drug costs. So a lot of these things are being experienced already. But that said, one of the biggest and most integral provisions of the Affordable Care Act is yet to be implemented, and that's the insurance marketplace. First, starting with an individual marketplace and also a small business marketplace. And that's where there's a lot of questions, and I guess I'd say some anxieties too. Part of the reason for that is it was only a couple weeks ago that they announced the insurance companies that would be participating in that program. And so before then, people wanted to know, who might I get insurance from? Now they know the answers to those questions. Beyond that, we have people asking questions about price, but the prices haven't been set yet. So I think we are just around the corner from getting a lot of the very specific information that we need. One thing I would recommend people who are curious do is go to a website that I think has the latest information, and it's called healthcare.gov. There you can also find a 1-800 number that's 24/7 now, and ask questions that might be specific to you or your small business, but not yet answered on that website. And I think people are going to be finding that the information is more forthcoming now than it was just a few weeks or months ago.
Some of the questions I hear that I don't know the answers to, maybe you do. Why were some of the big businesses exempted from the time deadline, and why do the individuals start sooner than many of the businesses?
Well, so the individual market is incredibly important because most of the people in America who are uninsured are not working for big business. They're either working in small businesses that can't afford the insurance for the small group, or they're self-employed or having some sort of interruption in their employment. And so that's where the crisis is, and that's where I'm glad that this is going to be on schedule. And so that's really important for expanding insurance dramatically in America. That said, we have to get it right, and this is a huge undertaking. And what I understand about the administration's decision to delay a couple of provisions is because it was very clear they weren't going to have the necessary background information and data in time. And they were going to get it wrong if they didn't have what they needed. So while it concerns me to see these delays, I know that they're working earnestly, and you know, we want to get as many people in America covered as soon as we can.
Many people have been critical of the program for causing many employers to cut their staff down to under 30 hours a week just so they can afford to stay in business. Are there things that can be done to adjust the Affordable Care Act to keep that from happening, basically keep from pricing businesses out of business?
You know, we are very much aware of the fact that there are things that need to be fixed and adjusted in the Affordable Care Act. And now is when I am calling on all of my colleagues to stop putting politics ahead of progress. And what I mean by that is that when you have one of the two houses of Congress that has tried over 40 times to repeal the entirety of the Affordable Care Act, snatching insurance away from people who now have it or people who are about to get it without any sort of realistic alternatives and replacements, that's a problem, and that's why it's been so hard to find partners across the ideological spectrum to say, all right, here's a very small piece of this measure that just needs some adjustment. It just needs some mending so that this will work right for people in Wisconsin and people in America. That's all it needs. Can we work together on it? And the answer keeps being, no, we want to repeal it. We want to defund it. You know, this is a huge undertaking. It will not be without bumps in the road. But it will be much easier when everyone says the political fights are behind us. Now it's time to join together and make this work for Wisconsinites.
What's the best way to make that happen?
Well, you know, I think that I heard a little bit of encouragement where a few folks are standing down, at least admitting they shouldn't shut down the entire federal government over this issue. You know, we need more than that to achieve what I would call cooperation. I think as people start participating in the marketplace, people who've never been able to get insurance because they have a pre-existing health condition, people who have experienced financial crises because their health expenses have been far more than what they could afford, I think when they see the benefits, in addition to the folks who've already seen the benefits, like these young adults on their parents' health insurance and parents who have children with pre-existing conditions who now have coverage, I think when all begin to see the full advantage of these programs, there'll be so much pressure to, you know, fix what doesn't work, but carry on with this because it's going to be such a major step forward for the millions in America who've not been able to get insurance coverage.
As you look at the back and forth across the party lines, is there a chance that the Democrat-controlled Senate would pass a budget that takes care of everything but Affordable Care Act and deals with it separately? Is that possible, or do you think the shutdown is imminent?
You know, first of all, the Senate has passed a very what I thought was a very good budget resolution that not only addresses the need to tighten to diminish the debt and deficit, but also replace the sequester and make key investments in the type of things we need to look at in order to grow our economy. That said, as we see an end of the fiscal year coming upon us soon, I believe that there will be some significant backing off of these threats to shut down the government. And I think we just need to hold firm and start moving forward together. You know, yes, there was some showmanship and threatening to shut down the government. There's been threats to default on our federal debt obligations. I certainly hope that we'll learn the lessons from when these things have been threatened before, where we've seen seismic impacts globally as well as in our domestic economy. We can't afford to do that game playing anymore, and I call on my colleagues who are making those threats to step back and to responsibly deal with the challenges we're facing.
So far, we've seen both parties pretty well stick to their guns. Do you see any wiggle there at all, any movement from either side?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what you mean when you're saying both sides. I think that if we talk about the Affordable Care Act, a bill was passed. It was signed into law. Many provisions are working really well for Wisconsinites and Americans, and we want to see it through. I think it's one side that's been irresponsible and saying, let's vote again this week and next week to repeal, to defund. That's not the way to go about governing. It's time to work together, and I really do point a finger at some who have just decided to play politics and rather than face the challenges, the real challenges that we face.
What about the budget or a continuing resolution? Do you see any movement there?
You know, the problem right now with the budget is that the House has passed one, the Senate has passed one, and we need to go to conference committee on it. And unfortunately, a handful of members have objected to going to conference and have held it up. That's not the way you do business. The way you do business is you work together, you sit across a table, you start resolving the differences between the two approaches. That's what we've done for years. And instead, people are trying to use leverage for their plans. So I think we need to put a stop to that and get back to the regular, orderly way of doing business, of budgeting and legislating.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us today.